I'd like to start this morning telling you a story about the 16th century Italian explorer Verrazzano. Verrazzano was a nobleman and not an expert seaman or ship captain, nor was he an expert map maker. In the 16th century, this made a huge difference. It might still make a difference today. I'm not a sea captain either, but in the 16th century, it clearly made a huge difference. Verrazzano produced a map in 1509 that, when looking at it today, you really have to wonder what he was looking at in his exploration. He was the first person to truly explore the entire east coast of the United States, of present-day United States. And since he was not an expert sea captain, he was afraid to get too close to shore. So his map clearly illustrates his reticence of getting too close to shore, because he missed virtually every major bay on the Atlantic coast. He missed the Chesapeake Bay. It's not on the map. And if you've never been to the Chesapeake Bay, it's big. He missed the Delaware Bay. It's not on the map. Delaware Bay is really big. He missed New York Harbor, which is really big and really close to the ocean. He pretty much missed all of them. Now, the reason this is important to today's sermon is because of what Verrazzano wrote in his journal when his ship approached the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Okay, because the real glaring thing I haven't told you about yet. Okay, this is the fun part. Okay, in his journal and drawn on his map was the Sea of Verrazzano. Now, you may say, well, I've been to North Carolina a couple times, and I don't remember visiting the Sea of Verrazzano. That's because it doesn't exist. Okay? When he came across the Outer Banks off the coast of North Carolina, the Outer Banks are a strip of land, he could see the Bay of Albemarle on the other side. But he couldn't see the mainland because of fog. That's right, he couldn't see the mainland. So he assumed the Outer Banks was the only landmass and drew the Sea of Verrazzano where North Carolina is. Okay, so if you look at his map, there's no North Carolina, there's a big Sea of Verrazzano. This is the perfect image, not seeing the land because of the fog, to describe why Moses ascended Mount Sinai and Jesus was transfigured, why these two events are so important. So we're going to spend some time this morning on them. Okay, if you look at the two narratives, even casually, if you just read the two stories, just kind of casually, then you will find immediately similarities start to emerge. Okay, I'm not going to point out anything kind of earth-shattering, but I'm going to point some stuff out. Moses is leading the people of Israel in the desert wilderness. Okay, literally 200,000 people in the middle of the desert. Jesus is leading his disciples into a spiritual wilderness. Both Moses and his trusted assistant Joshua went up the mountain. Jesus took his trusted apostles, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain. Okay, so we're all together on this. You see the similarities? Let me give you a couple more. Moses approaches the appearance of the glory of the Lord. Jesus transfigures into the spirit of the glory of the Lord. Okay? Both narratives are meant to fuel the faith of their respective witnesses for the long and frequently frightening journeys ahead. For Moses' followers, the Israelites, they don't know this yet, but they're going to spend 40 years wandering around the desert with nowhere to go. 40 years. That's a journey. For Jesus' followers, the apostles, they will witness the death and burial of their leader, of God. There is one other similarity between Moses' journey up the mountain and Jesus' journey up the mountain that I'm going to point out to you that is a little more nuanced. This isn't as kind of in your face as the ones I've already pointed out to you. Moses, this takes a little background. Moses has been communicating with God directly since the burning bush in chapter 3 of Exodus. Now, we all, probably almost all of us know that story, right? That Moses is walking along, tending the sheep, and he sees a bush, and it's burning, but it's not being consumed. And so he says, one of my favorite lines in the Bible, maybe I should turn aside and see what's going on. Yeah, you think? Okay, so he does, and lo and behold, it's God in the bush. Okay, so obviously, Moses talking to God, chapter 3. Today's mountaintop trip is chapter 24. Okay, so in those 21 chapters, Moses and God have teamed up, okay, to produce 10 pretty horrible plagues on Egypt, part the Red Sea so that 200,000 people can walk on dry land through the Red Sea, okay? And then the miracle that I think doesn't get much traction in the church, while they're out wandering around before Moses goes up and gets the Ten Commandments today, okay, while they're out wandering around, they can't find water. And God commands Moses to strike the rock, and Moses and God striking the rock produces enough water in the middle of the desert for 200,000 people. That's a lot of water. Okay, I'm just saying, that's a pretty big miracle. Water for 200,000 people, pretty big. Okay, Moses does not, what I'm trying to tell, Moses does not need this trip in chapter 24 to the mountaintop. Moses is good with his relationship with God. Moses knows he has the power of God. Moses knows he has the trust of God. Moses certainly has a relationship with God. His confidence and faith are set in stone, unmovable and unquestionable. Did you notice in the Exodus reading today, God pulls out all of the stops in this one mountaintop experience? The other mountaintop experiences Moses has with God, there are a couple. We don't get all the bells and whistles. No, it's this one. Okay? There's thunder, there's lightning, there's blazing fire. All the people can see this. You can almost hear the trumpets blaring for 40 days and 40 nights while Moses is up there. In fact, verse 15 tells us a cloud covered the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The same is true with Jesus' trip with the apostles up the mountain. Jesus does not need another encounter with God. Jesus does not need to bolster his spiritual confidence or enter into conversation with God. Jesus can enter into conversation with God anytime Jesus wants to. However, just like Moses, God pulls out all the stops. I mean, all the stops. Jesus is dazzling, blindingly shining in glory, and then appears, okay, not only the greatest leader of Israel's history, Moses, but also the greatest prophet in Israel's history, Elijah. It'd be like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones in their prime having a concert at the same time. Like, who would you go see? Right? I mean, it's like, what? I mean, if I were Peter, James, or John, my mind would be completely blown. Because you have the two greatest, right? The two greatest. Both these experiences are meant for the people who witnessed them. For Moses, it was the Israelites. For Jesus, it was the apostles. For people who read the Bible, that's supposed to be us. Okay? For people who read the Bible, we're all included. These experiences are meant to help all of us who witness them so that we may begin to understand the seamless relationship of Jesus to God the Father and the unlimited power behind God in Jesus Christ. However, we all here present today have a decision to make because we were not standing at the base of Mount Sinai with Aaron looking up at the cloud and hearing the trumpets and the blazing fire. And we are not Peter, James, and John on the mountain with Jesus at the Transfiguration. We have to count on our faith. So there's a decision. Will we be like Verrazano and not wait for the fog to clear, not truly understand what we are looking at, move on with some other aspect of life? Because it's easy to do. It's really easy to say, yeah, this is kind of complicated. I'll just move on to something else. Or will we ponder this Lent for these 40 days that are rapidly approaching? Will we wait and watch and listen for the purpose and mission God has for us. Because that purpose and mission, even if you feel that you are absolutely doing exactly what God is calling you to do and exactly what your purpose is, it's always evolving. Ask Peter, James, and John. I'm sure they thought differently before they went up the mountain than when they came back down, that their purpose had changed. Your purpose always evolves. Will we wait for the fog to clear in our lives so that we may clearly understand and see that Jesus is the epiphany of all epiphanies? God is no longer hidden in a cloud. God is present in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we see God face to face. Amen.